Bibles tonight and go to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. We're going to read one verse to start with, because then I have about 10 to 15 more verses that we'll go to tonight that I actually will have you turn to them. I just wrote the references down. I didn't actually write out the verse so we could actually turn to them tonight. But we're going to read Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 19. Philippians 4, verse number 19. The Bible says, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." One more time, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." Let's have a word of prayer. Father, again, we thank you for this evening. Father, thank you for the songs that we have sung, that we can stand upon the word of God. I thank you, Lord, that your word never fails. The promises are true. I thank you, Father, that it is a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. Lord, that every generation can put their faith and trust in your word, because it never changes. Just like you, it's the same yesterday, today, and forever, and we thank you for it. Father, I ask that you would please bless our time tonight. Lord, as we have the word of God opened, Lord, I want you to guide our hearts. I want you to teach us. Lord, help us to learn some things tonight, to be reminded of some truths. And I pray, Father, that it would be a help and a blessing to each and every one of us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Tonight, I want to talk to us about our need and his supply. As Paul writes to the church at Philippi, he says, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." So whatever our need is, and I have about 9 of those needs written down for us to look at, but they will be supplied by Jesus Christ. Remember, Galatians 2:20 says, as Paul wrote to the church at Galatia, he says, "I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me." I mean, just think about it. Jesus Christ is the one that supplies everything that we need. And again, it says, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." So there's several things, and again, these are just 9 things, but there are more things that you might need at any given moment. But as I think about, though, Paul, as he was writing to the church at Philippi, Paul was admonishing them because they had sent gifts to Paul. They had met some of Paul's physical needs. And no doubt, God does supply for us physically, monetarily, sometimes, you know, our finances are not what, you know, we want them to be or what they should be. Maybe there's an unexpected bill that we have to pay that wasn't in the budget. And, you know, you take it to the Lord, just like Hezekiah spreading the letter out before the Lord. You know, you take your need to the Lord. You show the Lord what the need is. You ask God to provide for it, and he does. But there are more needs that God's people need than just health needs or, you know, the physical needs or the monetary needs. Like there's 9 of them right here I want us to remind ourselves of and maybe encourage us in that. Obviously, when we need God's presence in our life, he supplies that need. Again, based on Galatians 2:20, which I already quoted, but I want you to take your Bibles tonight and go to Galatians 2:20. Just turn maybe a couple pages back in your Bible to Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, and just be prepared to turn with me to look at these verses, Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. Again, Paul says, "As well as every born-again believer can say, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me." So we know we have the presence of Christ with us. As born-again believers, we have his spirit within us. All right? "Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." I want you to go to John chapter 14 and look at the words of Christ. So I'm thankful that when we need his presence, and obviously his presence is always with us. Everywhere we go, the Lord is with us. But there's just times in your life where you really want to feel the presence of God. You know He's there. You know He promised never to leave you nor forsake you. But I don't know if you've ever felt the hug of God. And I'm not being, you know, weird but if you have a relationship with the Lord, there are times where, you know, you're seeking God and you can feel His presence so strong in the room that it feels like He is hugging you. I can remember years ago when still at my home church and being able to go to the church because I taught Sunday school and being able to go on a Saturday night and go to my classroom and just pray over my classroom and spend some time looking over the lesson. And there were times I would go with a heavy heart and cry to the Lord and talk to the Lord and just I could feel His presence in that room. And it's a wonderful thing. It's something you never get over, and it's something, honestly, you never want to lose the presence of God. You don't want, as the Bible tells us, quench the Holy Spirit. Again, praise the Lord, He never leaves us. He won't take His gift of salvation away, but to not feel His presence. Remember, think about Jesus hanging on the cross when He said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Jesus felt the absence of the Father at that moment. And again, that's something you and I, praise the Lord, won't ever feel, but there's times where we need to feel His presence more strongly as an encouragement, as a comfort to help us to get through whatever we're getting through. Again, you think about, and I'll read John 14 in a minute, but you think about Paul and Silas sitting at that prison cell at midnight. I mean, they're just singing and praising God and praying, and then God fills that prison cell with His presence and shakes it. I mean, I can just imagine what it was like for Paul and Silas just being encouraged by the Lord. And that's exactly what God's presence does for us. Yes, He's always with us, but there's something special about a moment where you really feel God's presence in the room with you, in the car with you, wherever you're at, and you're just pouring your heart out to the Lord. All right, so He supplies His presence for us. John 14, look at verse 16 through 18. Jesus says, "And I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him. But ye know Him, for He dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you." Again, Jesus talking about the Holy Spirit, but again, then He says, "I will come to you." I mean, we understand that God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, they're all one. And they have different different ministries they do, different offices that they do. But it's Jesus Christ in you that comforts you, His presence. And even, honestly, even if we don't have a feeling of His presence with us, though I hope you have felt that before, we don't always have to feel, you know, His presence, because you know what? Sometimes, you know, salvation isn't a feeling. There's days where, you know, you're having a bad day and salvation isn't based on a feeling. It's based on your faith in Jesus Christ and His finished work. And knowing His presence is with you, He supplies His presence. He's there. He protects you. He gives you provisions. He guides you by His presence. That's even what I want to look at next, is the fact that He supplies not only His presence, but His protection as well. Look at Psalm 33, if you would. Psalm 33. Again, when Paul said, "My God shall supply all your need," it encompasses everything, our spiritual need, our emotional need, our physical need, financial need. But I'm glad that as we look at, I guess you could say, these spiritual needs, you know, His presence, I mean, just His presence comforts us, but His protection as well. In Psalm 33 and verse 20, if you would. Psalm 33 and verse 20, the Bible says, "Our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our help and our shield." Our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. He is our protector. He is like a shield. I cannot imagine, I can't even fathom how much and what all God has truly protected me from. Now, I know that he's protected me from car wrecks, and you probably can testify of being protected from car wrecks and coming just within inches of someone hitting you or you running into someone, and he kept that from happening. But I can't imagine how much he has kept us from, he's protected us from, that we don't even realize. So he supplies his protection for us. Look at Proverbs chapter 30. Proverbs chapter 30. And us, as we think about these different things that he supplies us, I guess we could also be thankful, not just knowing that he supplies these things for us, his presence, his protection, and these other seven things we'll look at, but even be thankful that he supplies these things for us, that he is always there to protect us. He's always there to guide us and to give us strength in time of need when we are feeling weak and we're feeling faint-hearted, and he strengthens us because we seek him and we cast our care upon him. But you look at Proverbs chapter 30. Well, let me get there. Proverbs chapter 30, look at verse number 5. Proverbs chapter 30, verse number 5 says, every word of God is pure. So we know there's no error in God's word. There's no lie in God's word. Every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. I love the fact that the writer says every word of God is pure, and then says, he, speaking of God, he is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. So he is our protector, and he supplies us with his protection. Again, when you think about, there's so many examples in scripture you can think about. I think about David just going all those years running for his life, and Saul never could do what he wanted to David. Never could. Even though he came close a couple of times, and yet God protected David. God kept a division between David and Saul. And you think about the extreme, all right? I don't think anyone in here has ever been swallowed by a whale, but you think about Jonah being swallowed by a whale. And God had prepared that whale to swallow Jonah, to teach Jonah a lesson, to get Jonah's attention. And Jonah didn't die in the belly of that whale. God protected him from death. And God gave him a second chance to go and do what God asked him to do. There's over and over, you'll see in Scripture, just the hand of God's protection. And hopefully we can reflect on these truths tonight and think about times that we felt God's presence that was a comfort and a help. And we realize the times that God has protected us, and we thank him for it and praise him for it. And don't take it for granted that God's always there. He's never going to leave me. He's always going to protect me. I'm his child. Whatever happens, it's in God's will. And we still need to recognize it. We still need to praise him for it and thank him for supplying our needs when we need them. We need his presence. We need his protection, but we also need his strength at different times. I want you to go to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 41. He supplies his strength when we need it. Isaiah chapter 41 and verse number 10. And then we'll go to Ephesians 3. But Isaiah 41 and verse number 10, the Bible says, fear thou not, and this is God speaking, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. That's a wonderful thing to remind ourselves of and to think about in time of need. God says, fear thou not. Jesus often told his disciples, fear not. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Think about it. God does it all. God helps us. He holds us up. But he strengthens us with his strength, because man's strength will fail. I don't know if you've ever tried to do things in your own strength that only God could do through you, and you found out, I'm frail. Because everybody thinks that they're strong enough to handle anything, whether it's emotional, spiritual, physical. Some people just think that, you know what, they're invincible. But there are things that God will teach us in our life that we learn that we're not invincible, that we need God's strength, that we can only make it through the day if God strengthens us physically, spiritually, and emotionally, and mentally, helping us to walk in his strength. And that's why Paul said that it was Christ living in him. There's no way that Paul could have finished his ministry, finished his course that God had set him on, without the grace and strength of Jesus Christ. I mean, Paul talked about just being weary at times, physically weary. He talked about just his life and just the different beatings, the shipwrecks, and just all the things that he faced in his life that takes a toll on. I mean, when you read the life of Paul and just thinking about your own life, I mean, we just have days where, you know, where we get to a point where we're stressed, where our mind just isn't thinking right. We're thinking about giving up. We're thinking about throwing in the towel. The devil's just picking on us, and God says, come unto me. God says he will give us the strength that we need. And always remembering, again, I mean, this should be a verse that probably every child of God should write down and memorize and hide it in their heart. And that's Isaiah 41:10, where God says, fear thou not, because if you cannot trust anybody, or I should say, if you can trust anybody, you can trust God. You may not can trust every human being, but you can definitely trust God with everything. And God says, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I'm glad that he is my God, and I'm sure you're glad that he's your God, and that you can say, he is my God, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. It's God's strength that helps us. Look at Ephesians chapter 3, if you would. Again, he supplies his strength, not human strength. You know, we don't have, Scripture does not say, nor do we have pictures of Samson. But most coloring books and most, I'll say, Bible books that have pictures of Samson show him as some strong, muscular man, you know, with bulging muscles and stuff. I don't believe he was that way. Scripture does not say he was that way. Because you think about, then he would get all the glory for it. If he was a man that was that muscular, then he would get the glory for walking off with city gates. He would get the glory for catching all those foxes. I think it was 300 foxes, and tying their tails together and lighting the fields on fire and taking the jawbone of a donkey and slaying hundreds of Philistines with it. He would get the glory for it. What do you think? Just an ordinary man, just an average man. He might have had a little muscle to him, but I don't think it was anything like some of the books show him to be. Because you think, it's God's strength. Because the Bible says when the Holy Spirit would come upon him, then he would have this unbelievable strength. And only when the Holy Spirit came upon him. Now, yes, he was told not to cut his hair, but that was for him to be obedient to the word of God. It wasn't his hair that gave him the strength. It was the Holy Spirit of God coming upon him. And you think about that. That, God gets the glory for that because it's God's strength in a person's life. Ephesians chapter 3, look at verse 16 if you would. Again, the Bible says that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. Again, that verse says that he would grant you, and again, Paul's talking to the believers at the church of Ephesus. This is part of his prayer for them, that he, God, would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. Paul does not pray for them to have physical strength. He prays for them to have spiritual strength, and that spiritual strength only comes by the Holy Spirit of God. That spiritual strength to be able to say no to sin, to be able to walk away from sin. Again, think about Joseph in the Old Testament, being able to run and flee out of the house of Potiphar when Potiphar's wife was making advances on him and caught him by his coat and wanted him to do something against his will, against his conviction, against his God. And he ran out. I mean, I believe God, because Joseph had been faithful to God. And as we continue to be faithful with God and walk with God, then when we need that extra strength to resist sin and to flee and to run, I believe God gives it. And Joseph was able to get out of his coat and flee. You might think, yeah, but it got him thrown in prison. Well, sometimes doing the right thing gets you into trouble with people who aren't doing what's right. But God still gave him the spiritual strength that even in prison, he had a good attitude. He had such a good attitude that, again, the keeper of the prison saw his attitude, saw that God was with him, and placed everything in his hands. He took care of all the prisoners. He took care of the affairs of that prison. And you know the rest of the story. God raised him up to be second in command of Pharaoh. But what I want us to remember is that God supplies his presence when you need it. His presence is always with you, but there's just times when you and I, we get on our knees and we cry out to God. We want his presence. We want to be able to feel his presence and have his presence with us in a very powerful way, and he does that. And then he supplies his protection. He has that shield around us. Remember, again, I mean, as the devil is tempting God, which you cannot tempt God with evil, neither does God tempt any man with evil. But the devil's tempting God to do some harm to Job. And God says, no, he's in your hands. And the devil says, you've got a hedge of protection around him. Even the devil knows that God's shield was around Job, and he could not do anything to him unless God took his hedge of protection down. So God supplies his strength for us and his protection. I want you to go to Psalm chapter 40 as we think about the next thing that God supplies, and that is his provision. He supplies his provision for us. Psalm chapter 40. Psalm chapter 40, and look at verse number 17. And then we'll go to the New Testament. We'll go to Hebrews chapter 13. But in Psalm chapter 40 and verse 17, the Bible says, "But I am poor and needy." Have you ever felt poor and needy? Even though you may have plenty, yet there's something maybe you don't have that you'd like, but there's times where, you know what? You are needy. You need God to provide. "But I'm poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me." Just like the psalmist, we know that God thinks upon us. His word tells us that he has thoughts of peace towards us and expected end. And God thinks about you and thinks about me. He knows our needs. "But I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Thou art my help and my deliverer. Make no tarrying, O my God." As the psalmist writes this, he says, "Lord, please don't waste any time meeting my need." He says, "Make no tarrying. You know, don't waste any time. Don't linger, Lord. Please meet the need I have. But I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Thou art my help." Think about, he supplies his provision. He supplies his help to us. He is our deliverer. You know, many times I think we go without, and God's got a perfect plan, a perfect timing. I think a lot of Christians go without having their needs met because they don't go to the Lord. They don't go to the one that can supply their every need. Again, they're trying to do it on their own. They're trying to meet their own needs. They're trying to find somebody else to meet their need. They're going on social media and telling everybody on Facebook and all the Instagram and all that stuff, you know, what their need is, instead of going to the Lord. God meets the need of his children. I mean, that would be like my children going to the next door neighbor and asking them for stuff because they don't think that, you know, they can ask me or ask their mom for anything. That would be kind of silly. Most parents would be kind of upset that, you know, their kids are going, you know, somewhere else to get their needs met when they can meet their need. God can meet our need. Look at Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. Again, just a few things to think about tonight that God says that he will supply. And we can thank him and praise him for it and really have comfort in our hearts that God does meet all these needs. And there's not a single need that we cannot take to the Lord that he will not help us with. Again, we look at Hebrews chapter 13 and verse number 6. The Bible says, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. You know what? That is someone who truly believes that God provides. As someone who truly has a heart that is full of faith, full of love, full of conviction that their God is their helper and nobody else. I know, yes, God does use people to help people. But we have to always remember to go to God for the need. Don't look to people first. Look to God first. And God will use people. But when we start relying on people instead of relying on God, the supply runs out because the focus becomes wrong. God wants us to always go to him. And again, I understand that sometimes, you know, we do have to wait on the Lord. Again, we would like our needs to be met the second that we ask the Lord. And sometimes they are met the second that you ask the Lord. But there are times where you have to wait, but we still have to keep the faith that God is my helper and he will supply his provision for my need when it's time, when it's ready, and when I need it. Again, I want you to think about, again, he supplies his presence, his protection, his strength, his provision, but also his leading. Go to Isaiah chapter 30. You know what? We truly can, as God's children, walk through this world without him guiding us. Because we're no longer part of this world. We're still in this world, but we are the children of God. We're the children of light. And we need him to guide us through this life that we're still living, guiding us each and every day. And I know the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. But there are times where you need God's leading because you're not sure, and I'm not sure what to do. You're not quite sure what the answer is to the problem. You're not quite sure because nobody wants to truly make a mistake or choose the wrong answer. And there are times where we do need God's leading. And we ask the Lord, Lord, lead us by your guidance, because if I do it by myself, I'm probably going to stub my toe on every chair, spiritually speaking. So Isaiah chapter 30, you look at verse 21. God shall supply his leading. In verse 21, the Bible says, and thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it, when ye turn to the right hand and when ye turn to the left. Again, listen to those words very carefully. And thine ears, speaking about your ears, my ears, shall hear a word behind thee. That's God speaking, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. Now listen. Remember, the Holy Spirit was given to us to be our comforter and to be our guide. God guides us by his Holy Spirit, which uses the Word of God. We have to hide God's word in our heart. We have to be walking close with the Lord. That's why the Bible tells us and God tells us, don't quench the Holy Spirit. Because if the Holy Spirit stops speaking, then we stop being led by God. Don't allow yourself to be led by lies. Don't allow yourself to be led by worldly philosophies. There's too many Christians depending upon worldly philosophies and worldly things to tell them who they are instead of relying on God's word, which is a lamp unto our feet, a light to our path. But the Bible even tells us it's like a mirror. It shows us who we are. It shows us if we have, you know, our hair disarrayed, shows us if we have, you know, ketchup on our faces, you know, spiritually speaking. I mean, it's God's word. And as you and I continue not just read it, but hide its words in our heart, Guess what? The Holy Spirit's going to take what we've been reading. And as we're walking through this life and we need direction and we need comfort and we need a word from God, God doesn't give a word outside this book. I've known of some professing Christians that will say, hold on, God's speaking to me. And then they say something that's not in God's word. That's not God speaking. God will never contradict his word. The Holy Spirit of God will never contradict God's word. He leads us by his word. Go to Psalm chapter 32. So never stop reading God's word. Never think that you've read enough or that you know enough. We can never know enough. Psalm 32 in verse 8. Psalm 32, verse 8, the Bible says, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. The Lord says, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Go to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 6. I mean, you could even read verse 5 as well, because usually 5 and 6 are read together, quoted together. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, lean not unto thine own understanding. Verse 6, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. He, that's God. When you acknowledge God, he'll direct your paths. When you're trusting in him, he will direct your path, but he does it. Why don't you look with me at Matthew chapter 11. So God provides his leading for us. And honestly, every day, there's not a moment in our life that we don't need God's leading. There's not a moment in our life where we don't need his presence or need his protection or his strength. There's not a moment where we don't need him to provide something for us. Matthew chapter 11, the devil wants to climb up on your back and tell you, yeah, God didn't supply that. You asked for it. You even claimed the words of Christ who said, ask, seek, and knock, and God didn't give it. If Paul would have listened to those lies, he would not have finished the race he was put in. He would not have finished his course. He would not have been faithful to the ministry that God called him to if he believed every lie the devil told him. Because remember, Paul prayed for the thorn in the flesh to be removed. And no doubt, Paul was a praying man. He was a man who had his prayers answered. He was a man used mightily of the Lord. Yet God wouldn't answer that prayer. Not the way Paul wanted it answered. God didn't remove the thorn, but God gave him strength and gave him grace to endure that thorn. And Paul gladly took that answer. So God always answers. It just may not be the answer that we were hoping for. But whatever answer God gives us, know that God's leading us according to his will. And if we will just submit to it, he'll give us the grace to continue on. And Paul never focused on that thorn. See, the devil wants us to focus on the thorns that are in our life. He wants us to focus on the failures. He wants us to focus on what we think God hasn't supplied for us. When honestly, we need to step back and really look at everything that God has supplied for us and praise him and thank him for it. Because he does. He supplies the strength. You know, not just physical strength, but the strength not to give up. There are people that give up too easily. I mean, again, when you look at the life of Paul, I thank the Lord that I don't have Paul's life. And Paul never gave up. I mean, he could have gave up as soon as he was dragged out of a city and stoned, left for dead. He could have gave up when he was bitten by the poisonous snake, when he was just trying to build a fire to help everybody else. I mean, it seemed like every good thing Paul did, he was met with something bad. Helping people at Philippi, being thrown into prison. Helping people, I think it was in Lystra or Ephesus, being dragged out, stoned, left for dead. I mean, just everywhere he went, there seemed to be bad things that would happen. But Paul didn't focus on those things. though he could testify to those things and say, you know, all these things happened, but you know what? God used it for good. So we've always got to look at the positive that's in our life, and that's God. God's always positive. He's always supplying. We just have to look at it, recognize it, acknowledge it, and praise him for it and thank him for it. So you look at Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28, and verse number 6. He supplies his rest. Again, there's times in your life you probably have been spiritually and even physically, emotionally weary and tired. And yet Jesus will supply his rest. He says in chapter 11, verse 28, Jesus says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." He says, "I'll give you rest." You read the rest of it. "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart." The Christian life is not a hard life to live unless we're trying to live it in our own strength and our own abilities. Then it becomes difficult because the Christian life is not meant to be lived, I don't even want to say, with human comprehension. It's not meant to be lived the way that you used to live your life before salvation. The Christian life is meant to be lived relying on the Lord, relying on his provisions, his strength, his abilities. Jesus says, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden." Those that are trying to live the Christian life on their own, trying to do it according to their will, and they just find themselves wore out and find themselves fighting with themselves and just a constant state of turmoil. If we'll give up and just rest in Christ and take his yoke upon us and learn of him and walk with him, the Christian life is a lot easier. And he says in verse 30, "For my yoke is easy, my burden is light." The burden becomes lighter because Jesus is the one carrying the load. He's the one leading us. He's the one providing for us. He's the one giving us the rest that we need, because we cannot humanly live the Christian life and succeed. It has to be through Christ, who supplies all of our need. Look with me, if you would, at Psalm chapter 43. A few more minutes here. Psalm chapter 43. Again, it's a wonderful thing when you think about what God supplies for us. I mean, there's not a single thing he does not supply for us to help us to be healthy, growing, fruitful Christians. Psalm 43 and verse number 5. Again, still thinking about the fact that he supplies his rest for us. "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me?" And David, the psalmist, tells himself, "Hope in God." I mean, look, even the best of the best Christians at times get to a place where they're weary, where the devil's picking on them, and they're tempted to give up, and they're tempted to have a pity party, and they're tempted just to sulk and think that, like Elijah, "I'm the only one serving you. I'm the only one doing right." But as David says, and sometimes we have to tell ourselves, hope in God. Get your eyes back on the author and finisher of your faith, who has not called you into the desert to kill you. Remember, the Israelites complained about God after 3 days in the wilderness. They complained to Moses, "God brought us out here to kill us." And honestly, though, if God wanted to kill you, he would have just left you in Egypt and let you die. But he brought them out to give them life, to give them freedom, give them liberty to follow the Lord and rely on the Lord and let God show himself mighty in their life. "So why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God." David says that God is the health of his countenance, and he's my God, just to kind of tell himself again, hope in God. He's my God. He's the health of my life. Last but I want you to look at 1 John. 1 John. Again, our need and God's supply. Look at 1 John. Oh, let me get there. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. What a wonderful verse, a wonderful reminder. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The fact that God supplies his cleansing. He supplies his cleansing. Because there's nothing we can do to cleanse ourselves of unrighteousness. There's nothing we can do to forgive ourselves of sin. But God does. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We need God's cleansing. Again, yes, Jesus Christ died on Calvary. He shed his blood for the remission of sin. Our sins are covered under the blood. But we still do things that are not right, things that are against God. In fact, I was reading this. I don't know if it was in Mark or Matthew I was reading earlier. But Jesus told a crowd that we could keep all the law except for one. And if we break one, of course, we're under grace, all right? We're under the New Testament, but as he's speaking to this crowd, he's telling them that if you commit fornication, but you don't kill, you're still guilty of the whole law. You're guilty of all of it. So you think about the fact that there are days, probably a day that doesn't go by, that maybe we get mad. You know, we say something we shouldn't say. We have a bad attitude. And we need to be cleansed from that because bad attitudes are not from the Lord. God's given us a great spirit. He's given us a Holy Spirit. And to get a bad attitude and to yell at somebody is not godly. And we need to ask God for forgiveness and ask him to cleanse us from that unrighteousness. So don't allow yourself to think that you don't need to ask for forgiveness. You've already been forgiven. Yes, we have been forgiven. But even God teaches us, keep a short account. I mean, as the Holy Spirit convicts you of things, you know, ask the Lord to forgive you of those things. Because, again, God's still working on us. He's still working in our hearts. He's still uprooting things in our heart that aren't right, that maybe we don't see. And he is cleansing us. And we need to ask for his cleansing at different times. And he supplies his cleansing because only his cleansing can actually do the job. A couple more verses here. Look at Psalm chapter 84. The next last thing I want you to think about is the fact that he supplies his goodness. He supplies his goodness in Psalm 84 and verse 11. Psalm 84 and verse 11. Again, God is good to you and me all the time. You know what? If you've ever been chastened by the Lord as a child of God, you still have experienced the goodness of God because you and I are not appointed unto his wrath. We're not appointed unto his wrath, but we do experience his goodness. He supplies that for us. Psalm 84, you look at verse 11, the Bible says, "For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly." So as you walk before the Lord as a child of God, he supplies his goodness. His goodness through, as he says, "For the Lord God is a sun and shield." He's a sun and shield for us. Again, he's our protector. He protects us. He guides us by his word, by his light. He goes on to say, we'll give grace and glory. He does give his glory, his grace. I mean, he just does good things in our life. He supplies his goodness, and we need to recognize it again and thank him for it and praise him for it. There's not a single one of God's people that deserves his goodness, but he supplies it to us. Again, when you think about God's goodness, the average person, when you ask them, you know, what is goodness, they'll tell you what benefits them. They'll tell you what they like. They won't mention difficulties. They'll mention, well, someone being good to me or me having a good life is never having any problems, never being sick, not having to work, but having a bank account full of money. But you think about God's goodness. again, using Paul as an example, because I just see God's goodness in Paul's life, and I think Paul would even testify, because when you read his letters, I think if Paul was here tonight, he would testify of God's goodness even in that prison cell. Even when he was having his back whipped before being thrown in prison, I think Paul would still testify of God's goodness, that, you know what, it could have been worse. You know what, we don't humanly think about that. We don't think about situations like that, that, well, you know what, it could have been worse. You know what, God's goodness, he is good to us all the time. He supplies his goodness. I mean, you even think about it, you just look into the face of a baby, as I look in the face of my grandson in the back. And that's God's goodness. God's goodness in a life. His goodness to give life. You know, we pray for his salvation, pray that the day comes that he understands and he calls upon Christ to be his Savior. But you know what? God even knows those who would not call upon him, and yet he still was good to them. He still gave them a life to live. He still gave them opportunities and chances. And still, even, again, people that have and will die without Christ, there are some that will die never having a health issue. They'll just die natural cause. That's God's goodness. And honestly, and they don't recognize it. We can't expect the lost people to recognize God's goodness or praise him for it, but we as God's people should recognize it and praise him for it. You know what? And just, again, God does. He supplies his goodness to his children. Our need, his supply. Now, what is it that we need? What is it that you need tonight? What is it that you might need tomorrow? Every given day, there's something that we need. And one thing we can count on is that God will supply his faithfulness. He's always faithful. I want you to go to one more scripture reference, 1 Samuel chapter 12. Because really, everything up to this point ties into this last point. God supplies his faithfulness through his presence, his protection, his strength, his provision, his leading, his rest, his cleansing, his goodness. God is faithful in all these areas because that's who he is. Not only is he true, and God's not a man that he should lie, but God's faithful. You know what? God cannot not be faithful. God can never be unfaithful because he is faithful. Because you know what? If God ever stopped being faithful, this world would fall apart. Every life would come unraveled. God keeps it all intact by his word. And mine and your life, obviously he's involved with. He walks with us and talks with us. And he wants to supply our every need. 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 22. Oh, let me get there. 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 22. The Bible says, "For the Lord will not forsake his people for his great name's sake." For the Lord will not forsake his people for his great name's sake, because it hath pleased the Lord to make you his people. You think about that, as you have been made, you've been given the power to become the sons of God, as the Bible says. You're a child of the King. And as God says, for the Lord will not forsake his people for his great name's sake. He's faithful. That's who he is. He's faithful. He's your God. He's my God. And our need is an opportunity for him to supply what we need. And every day we need to rely on him. Every day we need to look to him. Again, yes, God does use people, but we don't need to allow people or programs to become our God or our supplier, who we look to. We need to always look to God. We need to always go to God and ask God to supply what it is that we need. And yes, he'll use different means, different avenues, different people. But again, let God be your supplier. Let God and his word be what molds you and shapes you and shows you who you are. Because the world will lie to you. This world will lie to you and me and say, you're fine, there's nothing you need. The world has this program, that program to meet your need. And I say, I mean, to be honest, you know, a lot of people go into debt because instead of asking God, who owns the cattle on a thousand hills, they go to the bank and ask the bank. They end up going into more debt. And there's just things in this life that, listen, God is our supplier. God's our helper. And we have to get back to that. We have to allow God to do what he wants to do in our life. Allow God to work in our life and to shape us and to mold us and to grow us the way that he wants to. But remember, your need, he supplies. As Paul said, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, I believe the Holy Spirit speaking through Paul when he said, "My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." Again, there's not a single need that he cannot meet. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we do thank you that you do and can supply all our needs.